Hello and welcome to Nightcap with Jim. I'm the titular Jim, and tonight we'll be discussing a range of topics from DC TV versus the DCEU, Netflix original miniseries Godless, Red Dead Redemption 2, and a couple other video games. For more content you may enjoy, please check out our Morning Mugami podcast and our other social media content at Mugami Players on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and YouTube. Let's get into it. All right, so I think I'm going to start with Godless, this Netflix original miniseries. I watched it when it first came out, and I started rewatching it last night and today. And I just wanted to talk about it briefly because it's a really amazing show. And you know, I just think you know, more people got to get into it for a number of reasons. One, it's a Western, and if you know anything about me, then you know that I absolutely adore the genre of Westerns. Just they're almost, you know, my favorite thing in terms of just like a straight up genre, like and but not in terms of like, you know, because Westerns can be action movies, they can be drama, they can be comedy. You know, I love action movies, but when it comes to just like something that can be anything, Westerns really, I think, are the best. That's also why I'm a huge fan of the samurai genres, because samurai and Westerns are so very closely related. And that really comes through when you consider all the samurai movies that have been remade into Westerns, and, you know, vice versa. I mean, not a lot of Westerns have been remade into samurai films, but, you know, there's a very close relationship there, which is because they're just very similar in terms of, you know, especially like Ronin, you know, are definitely comparable to you know, the wandering gunslinger, you know, coming through town. So, you know, I love samurai movies, love Westerns. And Godless is, you know, no exception. It's absolutely fantastic. It's a drama. It's a limited series, so we probably won't be getting any more of the show outside of the 7 episodes that they've made. I hope that's not the case. I hope they do come back and make some more, because it's one of my favorite shows that I've seen come out in the past 12 months. And the first time I watched it, I ended up binging the entire thing all in one day. And these are, and every episode is an hour, and some of them are almost an hour and 10 minutes. So, you know, that's half my day right there watching this show, because it's just so damn good. And we start off with the writer and director, Scott Frank, who you probably don't know too well, but he's done a lot of stuff that you'll know. So, as a director, this is his 5th directing credit. And previously, he directed a film, Walk Among the Tombstones, with Liam Neeson. That was a crime drama film that it kind of went under the radar for the most part, but it's pretty well made, I have to say. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I do remember thinking that it was a pretty good movie. And he made his directorial debut with Look Out, with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and I do remember that movie, and it was amazing. And this was a while ago, when Joseph Gordon-Levitt was really busting into the movie side of what he does. He was, you know, transitioning from TV, from you know, like Third Rock from the Sun, and doing a lot of really small independent features, like Brick and The Lookout, and just giving these amazing performances. As a writer, he's done everything from Minority Report, Flight of the Phoenix, The Interpreter with Nicole Kidman and Sean Penn. He did The Wolverine and Logan for Hugh Jackman, and you know, we all know Logan, So it's like, if you like the writing in Logan, then you'll like the writing in Godless. Because it's just really good. It also is just very beautifully shot. It's absolutely gorgeous, but also really gritty. And it's pretty intense. Basically, the story is there's this town called LaBelle, and a couple of years ago, before the events of the series, there was a mining accident which killed all 83 men living in the town, with the exception of the sheriff, his deputy, the bartender, and, you know, like, anybody who basically didn't work in the mine, which is only, like, a couple, like, four or five guys. So it's just now basically a town of all ladies, and if they have kids, then they're kids. And they're just kind of falling on hard times. And on the outskirts of this town, with her own parcel of land, is this woman. And one night, a gentleman arrives in the middle of the night on horseback, wounded, and she gives him another wound for trespassing on her land. Puts him back together, and turns out he's this outlaw running from his old gang. And you can basically see where it's going, you know, big old gun battle between a town full of ladies and a bloodthirsty gang of outlaws, with a bit of a redemption story for this outlaw that's, you know, been basically waging a guerrilla war against this his old gang. The cast is amazing. It's a really great, really fantastic cast. There's way too many amazing actors and to put them all in this list, so I just decided to go with basically the main cast. And so we start out with Jack O'Connell, who you would know from Unbroken, 71, Money Monster. Michelle Dockery from Downton Abbey, Nonstop, and Anna Karenina. Scoot McNairy from Halt and Catch Fire and Killing Them Softly in Argo. Merritt Weaver, who's done episodes in The Walking Dead, 80 episodes of Nurse Jackie, had a brief scene with Mel Gibson in Signs, and 7 episodes of New Girl. Thomas Brodie Sangster, who you will know from playing Newt in the Maze Runner movies. And Tantu Cardinal, who is just this absolutely amazing Native American actor, and she's been in all kinds of stuff. I mean, she's got 116 credits to her name, and she's just absolutely amazing. And some of them, you know, we got episodes of Longmire and Frontier, Mohawk Girls and Blackstone, and she played Graham Greene's wife in Dances with Wolves to perfection. I mean, ugh. Absolutely stunning. And she also gave a very haunting, very amazing performance in the movie Wind River that came out a year or 2 years ago. Again, just, it's a really great movie. It's a really great show. I hope they do more with it, because I just thoroughly enjoyed it. I gave it a 10 out of 10. And rewatching it, I don't think that rating's going to change. So, if you have Netflix, I definitely would recommend checking it out. It's really great. Oh, by the way, I forgot, Jeff Bridges is in it too, and Sam Waterston. So yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. I will warn you though, it, like I said, it's hour long, and it's, you know, more of a modern day Western in terms of, like, you know, it's not a gun battle every 39 seconds like it used to be in the, you know, in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you know. It's very slow and deliberate, but it's still absolutely fantastic. So I definitely would recommend giving it a look-see if you're on Netflix. All right, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back to talk about a couple of video games, and then we'll move on from there. So stay tuned. All right, so some video games. Now, I wanted to talk about these because Recently, Rockstar dropped their first gameplay video for Red Dead Redemption 2, and today I came across two other games, Generation Zero and Ghost of Tsushima, and so I decided why not talk about those briefly. Red Dead 2, wow, it just looks absolutely amazing. You definitely gotta check out what footage is available if you haven't already, if you're a gamer, if you know, especially if you like the first game, because it looks like they just took everything that was great about the first one, which is pretty much everything, and then they added a bunch of other stuff that looks awesome, and they made it, you know, a jillion times more gorgeous to look at. So you're definitely going to want to check that out, because it looks just phenomenally amazing. I mean, to be fair, it's a Rockstar production, and Rockstar make pretty much the best games out there, you know, alongside companies like Bethesda that do, you know, Skyrim, the Elder Scrolls series, and Fallout, and Ubisoft with the Far Cry series, and, you know, things like Rainbow Six, Vegas 1 and 2, and so on and so forth, and, you know, BioWare with the Mass Effect trilogy and stuff. But it just looks absolutely stunning, and you got to check out the gameplay footage that's out there, because it's just breathtaking to behold. Also, we got Generation Zero, and this is an interesting one. It takes place in Sweden in 1989, and you play as a person, and you're able to customize and create your own character that's come home from vacation on an island, paradise, presumably, with your homies, and you come back to find there's nobody around, there's just no people anywhere, and there's been an invasion of these malevolent machines, so you basically have to start waging an open-world guerrilla war against these machines, and you can play by yourself or online multiplayer with up to three other people for a four-man fire team or four-person fire team to wage this guerrilla war against these bad machines. And it looks amazing. Some interesting stuff, like with tactics, and, you know, because you're fighting machines, so you really have to keep on your toes, it looks like, from the footage I saw today. But it looks really interesting. I definitely gotta get my hands on a PlayStation 4, because this is just getting really ridiculous. All these amazing games that are coming out and about to come out, and it sucks, because, I mean, I got the PS3, but now I just need that PS4. and finally, we have Tsushima. Ghost of Tsushima. It's TS. It's tripping me up. Just hang on. Ghost of Tsushima. I'm gonna get this. I don't care if we were here for an hour. I'm gonna get this right. Ghost of Tsushima. Son of a. I had this earlier. I had it. This is entertainment. Tsushima. And it's a samurai game. I don't know anything about it other than the gameplay video that's about 8 minutes long that I watched today. It's a samurai game. It's one of the greatest looking games I've ever seen, straight up, I'm not gonna lie. I was absolutely blown away by how absolutely gorgeous this game is. And the gameplay video takes place at dusk. So you have that really amazing, that gorgeous, you know, magic hour light, just, you know, making it even more gorgeous than it already looks like, you know, I'm sure. And in the video, basically what happened is dude rides up on a horse to this area, and he jumps off the horse and walks through a little what looks to be the aftermath of a battle, onto this ridge line and overlooking, you know, this valley, and again just highlighting with the camera how gorgeous this game looks. Then he hops back on his horse because he chose a direction which way to go, rocks through this one area, and gets into a fight with three hostiles, and moves on, hooks up with a friend, and then so it goes from one-on-three combat to stealth combat, and sneaking, and using some acrobatics to climb up on this one small hut and use a grappling hook type thing to jump and swing and get onto an adjacent building to sneak in and engage in some more stealth combat there. Absolutely gorgeous, again, and I think probably the best fight mechanics for melee weaponry I've ever seen in a video game. And I've played a lot of games, so I know what I'm talking about. The fight mechanics are just exquisite. They are phenomenal. I mean, it just looks real. Like, the problem with melee combat in video games is that there's always, you know, something that just, you know, just doesn't jibe one way or another. But Ghost of Tsushima, they just went above and beyond and have created probably the best fight mechanics for melee combat, especially weaponized melee combat, that I've ever seen. So it's just amazing. I can't wait to see more of it and to eventually play it, because it just looks like it's going to be one of the, you know, definitely I'm going to think it's amazing, and it's probably going to be one of the best games ever made. Which seems like there's a lot of that going around lately. But yeah, looks amazing, and I would definitely recommend you checking out gameplay. If you're a gamer like me, if you like video games, I would definitely recommend you checking out the gameplay videos that are out for these games. Again, that's Red Dead Redemption 2, Generation Zero, and Ghost of Tsushima. Tsushima is spelled T-S-U-S-H-I-M-A. Definitely check that out, and we're going to take a quick break and be right back to talk about DC TV versus the DCEU, and that's DC Comics, their TV stuff, and the Extended Universe, which is their movies. So stay tuned for that, because I'm going to have some negative shit to say after all of this nice stuff I've been saying, so stick around for that. All right, and finally, to close it out, DC TV versus the DCEU. Now, oh boy, the reason I decided to talk about this is because I've been watching Arrow recently, and came to the season 5 episode Invasion, so which was a big crossover event from that started with The Flash, then to Arrow, and then to DC's Legends of Tomorrow. Now, while I haven't seen anything from the other shows, that's Supergirl, The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Black Lightning, outside of the crossover events, what I have seen is pretty damn good. And Arrow is one of my favorite shows out right now. So I'm really into Arrow. I just got into season 6 a couple of days ago. So, and that's after, you know, binging through half of season 4 and all of season 5 in, you know, a handful of days. So, I really dig Arrow. I think it's an amazing show. Stephen Amell as Oliver Queen / the Green Arrow is just fantastic. And then the rest of the cast is amazing. I don't want to get too much into Arrow right now, just because I want to save that for an actual, for its own episode to talk about that. And I'm not going to really get into too much about the movies either, or any, you know, just because this is, I'm trying to stick strictly to just the what they have going on in the TV game versus what they have going on the big screen. So, it's just kind of bothers me, because, like, the more I think about it, the more I think, you know, maybe I was a little bit too generous when it comes to the movies. I mean, Man of Steel I've always thought was good, not great, so not really that, but, and Batman vs. Superman, I will defend that movie till my dying day, because, you know, anybody, I don't think anybody really should talk shit about that one, because it's, I think it's amazing, and I can prove it. Wonder Woman is phenomenal, you know. However, having thought about it, Justice League and Suicide Squad definitely are, you know, kind of, you're just, they're not, you know, I when it comes to Suicide Squad, I still think it's good, but I do find myself agreeing more and more with writer-director David Ayer that he should have made Joker the prime villain as opposed to a side character or a tertiary character. Because, I mean, Jared Leto just put so much work into Joker that, you know, and you know, that and I think he did a good job with Joker, you know, and so it's just like, yeah, there should have been more Joker in the movie, but the only way that you're going to get that is if Joker is the main villain that these guys are going after, which that would have been super interesting, because Harley Quinn is on the Suicide Squad, so there would have been that whole dynamic to play out, which would have been really interesting. So, you know, I do kind of agree that Suicide Squad, it's good, but it could have been amazing. And then Justice League, I feel the same way. You know, people complaining, oh, these movies are too long. Oh, they're too long. And then you have, you know, Infinity War being 2.5 hours, and, you know, I mean, you know, just, it's like, give me a break. You know what I mean? You can't have it both ways. You can't complain about, oh, the DC movies are so long, and then, you know, bend over backwards sucking the dick of Marvel, you know, when every movie they release is at least 2 hours 10, if not, you know, 2:20 and whatnot. So it's like, shut up. You can't have it both ways, okay? But, you know, people are going to say what they want to say. And then in Justice League, you know, I just feel like it suffered a little bit. For a couple of reasons, you know. I mean, Zack Snyder, for personal reasons, I don't want to get into that because I don't like to talk about people's personal lives. He just had to drop out towards the end of it. For some personal stuff that happened in his life, and the studio wanted some reshoots, so they were like, "Who are we gonna get? Let's why don't we get the guy who's already done this before? Let's get Joss Whedon." And I remember thinking the first time I seen it that it was fantastic, and I still think it's really good, but, you know, the reshoots I think were just completely unnecessary. You know, I mean, Joss Whedon, God love him, he did a good job coming in and, you know, retooling a couple of scenes and, you know, did a great job directing them. But I just feel like it was completely unnecessary, especially when you consider the whole Henry Cavill mustache scandal. Which, that's just, you know, that's some just weird, you know, studios battling out kind of crap, because, you know, he was shooting Mission Impossible Fallout, and his character Walker, Agent Walker, in that movie sports a mustache, and you know the studio actually had a clause in his contract that said he couldn't shave off the damn thing. So you know they were just be like Paramount was just kind of being a dick about that. So that, you know, now DC and Legendary have got to spend thousands upon thousands of dollars to fucking digitally remove his facial hair because Paramount was being a dick about it. Just like, oh, we don't want to spend time waiting for Henry to grow his mustache back when the movie's got five damn hiatuses already. I mean, like, just give me a break, you know, Paramount? I mean, the studio system is really messed up sometimes. But then DC's doing all this stupid stuff too. Like, there's rumors that Ben Affleck's not going to continue on as Batman, so Matt Reeves' Batman movie is just going to be something totally different. And Martin Scorsese is supposed to make a Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix. And there's a petition to make the Joker gay, which, you know, I don't really care if he's gay or straight, but hello, Harley Quinn, for one thing. And also, why do you care if Joker's gay? Like, he's never, like, ever, shown interest in sex, much less in physical relationships and sex or anything, you know, much less an interpersonal relationship. So it's like, you know, and there's never been a Joker sex scene, and I don't think there ever will be unless you just change the character completely, which would be a real dick move as well. So it's like, why the fuck do we need a gay Joker? You know, I mean, if he was interested in sex, then that would mean something to me, but you know, there's this petition out there, and I don't understand it. You know, I mean, Harley wants to jump Mr. J's bones, but Joker just doesn't, he could care less about sex. You know, all he wants to do is rain chaos down upon everything. And by the way, like, there were kind of some gay vibes, you know, some, like, not gay vibes necessarily, but just like, you know, like he would do things. Like, with Jared Leto's Joker, you know, he would, you know, just do some stuff that was just, like, you know, would, like, invade another dude's personal space and just be like, what's going on here, you know? And so it's like, I don't understand why we need a petition to make the Joker gay and why we need to make him gay anyway. Why can't we just leave him the way he is? And again, he's just never shown interest in sex. So it's like, unless you're going to rob him of that asexuality that he has, where he just doesn't care about fucking, then, I mean, and that's something that's just always been there. So now you're just changing something that's just always been how it is. And instead of letting an actor, you know, just make their, do their performance how they want to do it based on, you know, the source material from the comics and stuff, you know, now you're infringing upon an actor's process in, you know, and the writers, and pressuring them to do something that has no real, like, effect on anything at all. Because again, like I said, he's completely asexual. He doesn't do the whole jumping in the sack with somebody thing. So it's like, why? It's just pointless. So DC is just all over the place when it comes to the movies, and I don't know what the hell they're doing anymore. You know, like, I was excited when, you know, Batman vs. Superman came out, you know, Dawn of Justice, and it's like, oh, we got Batman, we got Superman, we got Wonder Woman, and then Suicide Squad, and it's like they're creating their universe, but they're just going way too fast. And then they have the TV shows that are not connected in any way whatsoever to the movies, which is the biggest mistake they could possibly have made, because the TV shows are what's doing, or what does, or what are the successful, or what's, like, the TV shows are the successful part. You know, the movies are doing all right, but the TV shows are amazing. And you know, like, that's what Marvel, you know, like, they really thought this whole thing out. You know, like, they had these 10 years planned pretty much out. You know, they had a pretty good idea of where they were going with the thing. I mean, obviously they made changes along the way based on how people reacted to individual movies and stuff, but they, all the TV shows and the movies and stuff, they're all connected to each other. You know, they all live in the same universe, even if, you know, stuff from the movies doesn't get mentioned in, like, say, the Netflix shows. But it's still in the same universe. So there's still, you know, There is still the possibility of crossover from like the Netflix shows to like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Or from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Netflix shows into the movies. So we could possibly potentially see, you know, the Defenders come into, you know, Avengers 4, you know, which that would be amazing. Because it's like, how cool would that be to have the Avengers, the Guardians of the Galaxy, and the Defenders all team up? That would be to fight Thanos. I mean, and the Defenders, by the way, like, they're a pretty hardcore crew, so it's like, that would just, like, up the violence factor for sure. But DC just doesn't, like, they're not thinking straight, you know? Like, they're just all over the place, all over the map, and it's just a real bummer, because it's just like, these guys just jumped into it way too fast. Like, obviously what they should have done is they should have done Man of Steel, then a Batman movie, then the Wonder Woman movie, then Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, or maybe Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of... Well, yeah, they should have done the one... Yeah, so it should have been Superman, Batman, the Wonder Woman movie, then Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, just leave that as it is, then Suicide Squad, then Justice League, but make Justice League 2.5 hours like the Avengers films are, you know? Because, I mean, like I said, Justice League, I like it, but it's just so fast, you know? It's just boom, boom, boom. It just goes, you know? It's instead of being a locomotive, it's a bullet train, and I think that's a bad thing. But anyway, you know, I'm just gonna say this. DC, if you're out there, if there's any, like, executives or whatever, if you work for DC or if you work for Legendary, have a meeting with your boss and let them know that Jim from Nightcap with Jim told you to get your fucking act together. I mean, the TV shows are fantastic, but why the hell aren't they part of the movieverse? You know, and they can't now, by the way, because now you have a Superman in the shows, you know, and a Batman. So it's like, you know, what are you doing, DC? Like, get your act together for real, because you're just fucking up. Well, it's kind of a somber note to end on, but whatever. That's going to be our show for tonight. thank you so much for listening. Wow, I'm really ending this podcast on a downer note. Oh man, apologies. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to end the podcast, you know, on with such a like angry tirade, but that's our show. Thanks. Thank you so much for listening. Please tune into the morning show with Heath. He's finally got I'm pretty sure he's got his next episode as part two of the mockumentary series he's doing, Locked and Loaded. So he should be releasing that sometime this week. So that's going to be awesome. New episodes of Morning Mangami. And check out our other social media content at Mangami Players on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and YouTube. Thanks again so much for listening. Good night.